this morning.
My Lord, my God.
We've come to stop an epidemic. We've come to stop an epidemic. From the title, you can see we've come today to prevent the cover-up. We've come to prevent the cover-up. Scripture's been read for your hearing, and I'm not going to read it again, but I want to lay out something for you, because I know every time we get to Resurrection Sunday, here's the rundown in people's minds. First thing, gotta have the right outfit. Then, once you have that, you probably planned that 2 months in advance, of course. Then, you gotta make sure, go get your hair done, get your hair cut, find the right suit, find the right thing, and show up to church.
Come on.
And make sure you don't look like what you've been through. Yeah, we coming in hot this morning.
Come on.
And when we do that, we show up, we sit down, we make sure that, if nothing else, we make sure we try to sit either with our family or somebody that we like. Listen, we try to make sure that we're comfortable. Some may be coming through and they haven't been through in a while and they get nervous because they know somebody is going to say something ignorant like, I ain't seen you in a while.
Yes, Lord, come on.
See, I'm trying to help everybody. Because I want you to know that it doesn't matter how long it's been, at least one person in here is glad to see you. But Resurrection Sunday has that feel sometimes. Yeah. No, 99.9% of the time it has that feel.
Come on now.
Yes.
And the reason that it has that feel, at least from where I sit, is because we have done what other people have done in the past. Cover up the significance of this day.
Well.
The significance of this day is not just that Jesus got up, but what that truly means for the rest of our lives. For you see, to have Jesus get up out of the grave means that now we have the opportunity to get connected to the one that conquered what would take over our existence. And so we come today to stop the madness of covering things up.
Well.
Imagine being in the garden, being in that place where the tomb was. Let me set the picture for you, because sometimes we don't color it well enough. Y'all see pictures where it's like the tomb and the stone, right? You know, all those artist renderings of things and everything like that. Let me take you a step further. Imagine being Jesus put in a grave that was not purchased for you. It's borrowed. It was meant for somebody else. And then you have a stone that is on an incline that is to roll in front of it and wait for it. It's not just the stone, but the seal of the Roman government was on it. Meaning that the government affirmed the death of somebody innocent. And here's the crazy part. They put guards in front of the tomb. If you knew you killed them, why would you need guards at the tomb? The reason was, at least before the resurrection, the reason was they were concerned about the disciples saying, hey, we're going to steal the body and just put a story out there that Jesus got up. That's what they were concerned about initially, but let the record show they shouldn't have been concerned about that either. Because the disciples ran for their lives when he was put up on the cross. Peter, who knew who Jesus was, denied him. Judas killed himself before he could be redeemed. John was attending to his mama. And the rest of them, who know? So he's in a grave, surrounded by guards, with the approval of the government sealing his death. And then, as some preachers are probably saying by now in pulpits all across the country, early Sunday morning. He got up. Now, wait a minute. He got out, got up, but he had escort. An angel was present. Rolled the stone and allowed our Savior to walk out. Now, look at the scene. You've got soldiers who are there. Even before the women showed up to confirm that he was alive. The soldiers saw this happen. And the text says they fell like dead men. They were in such shock. Jesus walked out. The angel stood perched. The women came to tend to his body, but they had nothing to attend to. So there were a minimum of 5 people who had eyewitness account that Jesus got up. 3 of them went back to the disciples to tell them it happened. But what about these other 2? These soldiers. They were caught between a rock and a hard place. They had to go back and tell somebody, or at least attempt to tell somebody, what took place at the grave. And when they went back and gave their eyewitness account, you know what happened? Government got involved. And when the government got involved, they looked at them and said, now look, we ain't telling you that it ain't true. But we know if this gets back,
come on,
then nobody gonna be happy. Listen. Here's what we gonna do. You go tell everybody you see that the disciples actually indeed stole the body. You take this cash and you go somewhere.
Come
on. And whatever you do, don't tell nobody what you saw. Deny, deny, deny. It's unfortunate that these men could not have the freedom to tell folk about the power of our Savior's resurrection. It's an even greater crime that those of us that profess to love Jesus for the sake of so many different things decide to cover up our interaction with God's deliverance. As a matter of fact, the greatest crime that has ever been committed in the church, at least by the believers, when it comes to the message of Jesus Christ, is sometimes our inability, back up, our lack of desire to, back up, our willing decision not to tell anybody about what the Lord has done for us. And I'm sorry if you were waiting on something else to just make you feel good, but I'm on a mission for the rest of my life to let everybody know that God has been way too good for me to walk around in silence. Let me tell you why. Because when I think about what the Lord did for me, I know that God saved my life on more than one occasion. When I think about what the Lord did for me, I know that He rescued me from breakdowns, from feeling lower than low, rescued my mind, rescued my soul, rescued my spirit. And all of a sudden, you think for 1 second I'm going to walk around and sit idly by and suddenly not tell anybody about how good He's been to me? That's just as bad as covering up the fact that He got up. And there's some of us in here that have been waiting all year long, going through all kinds of stuff, that need to actually take a moment and release the valve over your life and just tell somebody Jesus is real. Jesus has all power. He did get up, and He did get up for me. See, the cover-up happens this way. The cover-up happens in such a way that it causes us not only to be silent, but it causes us to question everything He did for us. Did He really save me? I mean, when I look at all that's going on in my life, I have to wonder. When I look around, I see all this trouble. Am I really all right? I struggle with my mental and emotional health. Is God really there? Y'all ain't going to talk about it, cool. But the reality is, one of the other things we don't do in the church is talk about what? Mental and emotional health. Because we rather demonize rather than let people know that there is a reality, not only in counseling, but there is help from God. And whether you believe it or not, the Bible even says that there's much help in many counselors. So stop demonizing those that actually came to be free.
All right.
We have come to a point where as long as we can just do church, we don't have to do anything about sharing anything with anybody else. So we are content with making sure that the house is full. We're content with making sure that people are in the pews. We are content with making sure we sing the songs we like. We're content with singing the hymns we like. We're content with all that. But God said, I can take all that and throw it away if you would just tell somebody about what I've done for you. So we got to learn how to promote better. We got to promote, or as the gospel says, lift Him up. Because Jesus said before He died, if I be lifted up, watch it, I'll draw. So He's asking us to lift Him up so that He can do the drawing. All we're supposed to do are the following things, and I'm finished. One, we're supposed to share our witness. Share your witness. Share your witness. And here it is. You may actually have to share the actual witness that is the ugliest thing in the world.
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay,
sir.
All you pretty people. I get it. You don't want to tell nobody that you almost had a mental breakdown in your house. No, I'll tell your business because I want you to be free today. I want you to leave out of here knowing that whatever you got to do, you need to let somebody know that the Lord helps you.
Yes, sir.
All right? You don't want to tell nobody that you almost quit your job because it was a toxic environment. You don't want to tell nobody that you are still going through financial difficulty. You don't want to tell nobody about that real stuff. Because you're worried that if they knew you were going through, that they'd judge you.
Yes.
You worry about somebody else's opinion that you think matters more than God's. Yeah. Those soldiers didn't tell nobody because the government said to them, if it gets all the way back to the higher authorities, you're going to start trouble.
That's right.
What would it do for you to tell somebody that God delivered you from your pain? What would it do if you looked at somebody you know was going through the exact same thing God just delivered you out of, and you looked at him and said, if he can do it for me, he can do it for you?
Yes, sir.
What would it do if you actually stopped for a minute and not been judgmental about it and have spiritual amnesia and stop and say, you know what? I've been there. I've done that. I even struggled with the same exact thing. I was going through all kinds of trauma, trials, and tribulations, but the Lord did this. The Lord opened up this door. The Lord made a way when I had no way. He kept me when I wanted to give it all the way up. What would it do if you told somebody who was suicidal that you almost did the same thing, but you're not going out like that? Y'all don't want to talk. Cool. What would it do if you told somebody that you deal with clinical depression and even on medication, and even when you're going to counseling, the Lord still keeps you when you're going through? What would it do if you actually told your real testimony? It would tell somebody that they can make it. And you wouldn't have to go around with the weight of lying to hold on to something that you're not. They paid them off to hold a lie that they knew wasn't true.
Yes, they did.
Second thing,
yes, they did.
You got to embrace the revelation of the truth.
Uh-huh.
Here's the revelation of the truth. Go back to when he died. There was a guard. Now, it doesn't necessarily suggest the same guard that said what I'm about to say was at the grave. It may suggest that that guard was never at the grave. But at the cross, when Jesus gave up the ghost, there was a soldier at the cross that looked up and saw things happen, and he declared, truly, this was the Son of God. Right? Now, that was at the cross. Now, at the grave, where there should have been at least two more people that said, you know what? This is a bad man, and we can't deny what he was saying, and there's no way that we're going around here and trying to deny it. They saw the truth. They recognized the truth, and yet they were convinced to deny the truth. Life will come at you and tell you, don't believe that he's a provider while you're going through broke situations.
Well,
life will come at you and say, God is not your peace, because all hell is breaking loose. But in times like these, when we need some hope, you got to embrace the truth that you know. Even when I'm going through my hardest moments, I have to hold on to this, that he will keep me in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him.
Yes,
I got to hold on to the fact that no weapon formed against me will prosper.
Hold up.
That every tongue that rises in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Because it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. I got to hold on to some things. When I'm going through my deepest struggle, I got to hold on to the fact that no matter what I'm going through, there is nothing in this world that can separate me from the love of God. When I am dealing with those moments, when I think I'm by myself, the Bible says, not the world, but the Bible says, that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Come on in here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is he weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Every now and then you got to go back to what you know and hold on to the fact that he walks with me, that he talks with me, and that he tells me that I am his own. Is there anybody here that knows for themselves that the Lord is my refuge and strength and a very present help in the time of trouble?
Yes, sir.
And the last thing I'm finished.
Yes, sir.
No matter what you go through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what the world tries to tell you, never sell out.
That's right.
Never sell out.
That's right.
They sold out. They took the money and ran.
Yes, sir.
That money. Mm-hmm. They took the money and ran. Now, here is something to hopefully shift church culture forever. Y'all were shouting earlier. You may not shout now. We're going to still go on and we're going to be all right. There is nothing wrong with our history. We're able to take things from our history, learn how God worked in many dispensations of our history. I'm a history buff. I love it. I learn a lot of things. I gain a lot of thought from those that were actually great thinkers before their time. But at the same time, God never asked us to sell out our future holding on to things that might have died. Okay. What's this? Say it again. What type of cell phone? It's an iPhone. It's a smartphone. I can do everything I want to do in the world from this. I got a laptop, but I can do everything I want to do from this. Matter of fact, I'm recording my audio with this while showing it to you. There were years ago, when computers first came out, that everything this phone can do was all done in one huge room. You hear me? A computer that took up an entire room. All that computing power has been compressed to a smartphone. If some people had their way, we would still be computing in large rooms. Y'all see where I'm going? God never said the message had to change. God never said that you had to stop talking about the word of God. God never said get out of the Bible and say something else. Never said that. But what he did say was, as the years go by, find a way to get my word to my people. Which means that you don't get the right to just come up in church and just talk to folk that already know me. Y'all missing it. Okay, cool. Come on. Let's go home. Let's go home on this. When you leave out of here today, you are responsible for spreading the word every chance and every way you can. So when you get on that phone and you get ready to gossip to somebody today, let that gossip be the gospel. When you get out of here today, if you can text in 140 characters on Twitter, tweet this: he lives. if you can get on Facebook and tell somebody that the Lord is still on the throne, do that stuff. And while we're streaming right now, anybody that's looking at me, hey, how you doing? Go ahead and share this thing, because somebody needs to know, not just in Columbus, Ohio, but everywhere, because the Bible says that we got to go ahead and spread this thing everywhere we go. Go ye therefore and tell somebody about how good God is. Don't sell out and just keep on doing what you've been doing. Don't let anybody tell you this is the only way it's going to get done. Don't let anybody get on to you and say the only way you're going to show your spirituality is by shouting and hollering all that stuff. Take what you got and use what you got. If you don't shout, wave your hand. If you don't wave your hand, use your fingers. If you only use your fingers, make sure it's relevant. If you go door to door, do that thing. But whatever you do, don't sell the gospel short. Don't cover up for your friends. Quit being in denial around your folk at work. Yeah, I've worked in corporate America. I get it. You can't talk about it. But guess what? If someone's going through, they might come over and they need to know that you can pray for them. Don't sell out. Don't cover up, because God wants to use you. No, I'm finished. God wants to use you. So that's the, you waiting for the hoop. No, that's it. I know how, but I don't need to. The gospel's good on its own. God wants you.
All right, preacher. All right.
Don't cover it up.